thank you tonight for victory. Thank you tonight for power. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you made it possible to us be a part of the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. We rejoice tonight. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Oh, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Shake hands with a young person near you and say, I came to get full. Hallelujah. I came to get full. Amen. I didn't just come to Truth Camp so I could say I came to Truth Camp. Oh, but I came to get full of everything that the Lord has for me tonight. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Each night we'll be starting service at 7:30. The first night we start a little bit later to give people time to get here. But 7:30 each night this week, be starting church and looking forward to a great time in these evening services. Appreciate so much Brother Jacob and Sister Carolyn Smith consenting to speak, be our main speakers at the camp this year. We're looking forward to their ministry tonight. Encourage you to just pray that God will speak through them and that we will hear and listen to that God would say to us. Amen. So glad to have Brother Jacob Smith. Want Brother Jacob to come. Let's give him a hand of welcome tonight to Truth Camp 2019.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. It's hard to believe 20 years here at Truth Camp. And as I was looking across the congregation and seeing so many of these teenagers, I remember way back in Lumberton, Texas, how there were some of you were, some of you just wasn't even a thought back then. But some of you just a little bitty. And what a privilege it is that we get to come together this week, amen, to be a part of this youth camp. And how many of you would say you've come expecting for God to do something? Amen, in your heart and in your life. Hallelujah. I pray that you have. And I want you to do me a favor. Look over to your neighbor and tell him, say, I'm glad you're here. Now tell him this, say, I'm sorry if I offend you, but I'm not just here for you. Amen. Go ahead and tell him this, say, I'm here to let the Lord do something in my life. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, you've got permission tonight. You've got permission just to get in. You let the Lord have his way. I know this is a new location, and there are different things maybe that you're adjusting to, but where the presence of the Lord is, that's where there is liberty. And so we just encourage you, you just let the Lord have his way. Amen, in your hearts and your lives tonight. Praise the Lord. We count it an honor to be with you this week. We want to say that we appreciate, of course, all of our pastors and youth pastors and various workers and folks that have come and have made the trip. Why don't you young people give these folks a hand clap of appreciation? Some have taken off of work and using vacation and various things, and so we pray the Lord bless you, and we just are so thankful and honored to get to be with you. Amen. Why don't we stand together as we get ready to get into the Word of the Lord? We just want to get right in here and let the Lord have his way. If I can echo the sentiments and the statement of what Brother Torbert had just said, amen, is the fact that I know tonight and every night that there's something special the Lord wants to do. And so therefore we have to make up our mind to say we're not going to drop the ball. We're not going to be a generation that sets by and lets the Lord pass us by, but we're going to enter in and we're going to pursue after him. And we're going to let him meet needs tonight. Hallelujah. The book of John chapter 11. You have your Bibles here tonight, John chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 38. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to believe the Lord to speak to us tonight. Hallelujah. John 11, and we're going to start reading in verse number 38. Once you come to your place in Scripture, if you're there with me, why don't you say amen? The Bible says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Amen. Here, if I can, just zero in on this verse as it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. If I can, for just a few moments of time tonight, I just want to preach on this thought, and that is Jesus can stand the stink. Amen. Jesus can stand the stink. Amen. Won't you look at your neighbor and tell him tonight, say, there's not a stink that's going to stop Jesus. Hallelujah. There's not a situation, there's not, amen, a situation that you're encountering tonight that is going to intimidate our Lord. Can we pray together one more time? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you tonight, oh, for your presence. We thank you for these young people, all that have gathered here at this camp this week. Lord, I know that some have driven many miles, and there are some that are probably tired in body. And Lord, as we have come in and gotten settled into this service, I pray tonight, oh, that you would meet us here. Father, I pray that your word would come alive. As I believe with all of my heart, your word is on assignment. And Father, I pray that you will, by your word, by your spirit, accomplish all that you desire to do. Lord, anoint our hearts and ears to hear and receive. My mind and lips to preach as would bring you glory. And we thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. Jesus can stand the stink. A little bit of research will tell you that smell is one of the most powerful of the five senses that we have. As a matter of fact, it is stated that smell is that which can trigger memory better than any of the other senses. You can get a smell. You could walk into a restaurant and you could smell something being cooked and being prepared, and instantaneously you can be transported to your grandma's table, sitting around at Thanksgiving supper, or maybe something that has been prepared that evokes a memory of what it is for your family to sit around the dinner table and to visit and fellowship and to enjoy a good meal. I remember in our early days of Truth Camp and being in the dorm, I was thinking about this a little bit earlier tonight and watching Brother Dustin up here leading the worship. I still remember as I'd go into that dorm room before the night service and all the young men that was getting ready in that dorm room. This was before Axe body spray was popular. This was, I think if I remember right, back then it was called BOD, B-O-D. And some of these young men are saying, yeah, I remember some of that. But I remember, Brother Torbert, we'd go in that room, and just before the night service, Brother Dustin and some of them boys, Brother Blake and some of them boys there in that dorm room, we'd go in there, and there would be a fog in that dorm room. And I mean, it wasn't the Shekinah glory. It was Bod and it was cologne, cheap cologne. Amen. That was just fumigating that dormitory. And I'd walk in there and you'd nearly pass out. I'd say, boys, we need to take it easy on some of this body spray. And oh, I mean, they'd strut around there and they'd say, oh, but you don't understand. We're going to go down the concession stand tonight and we're going to ask old Susie to if I can buy her some nachos tonight. Come on, somebody. Don't you look at me cross-eyed like you don't know what I'm talking about. And they'd go, then I'd say, fellas, I said, you want to be pleasant. You don't want the girls to drop dead when you walk in the room. Come on here. I mean, they could kill every mosquito in a 100-mile radius. And I cannot stand, and forgive me if this offends somebody, let me just say it like this. I can't hardly smell a body spray and my mind not go back to those moments in those dorm rooms. Amen. And somebody bought me, stuck a spray can of that Axe body spray in my stocking, and I thanked them for it and all that good stuff. But when I got to the house, I found a trash can to dump it in. Only because it evoked some painful memories of those dorm days. But smell is powerful, and smell can invoke some memory. There in Vider, we live not too far from a town called Evadale. And there in Evadale, there is a paper mill. And if you've ever spent any time around a paper mill, it will produce a soured smell. It is potent and it is strong. And on days when that wind is blowing north and coming in from north, north of town, we can step out on the porch, and there's times that you can just be in the living room, and the smell of that paper mill, it will just permeate the inside of the house. And there's many mornings that we have got up to leave for school, and my little girl Ashlyn, she'll step out on the porch, and the first thing she'll say, Sister T, is, oh my goodness, it smells out here. And I say, yeah, that paper mill, it's blowing our direction. It stinks and it's rotten and it's soured. And if I can say tonight in this house is that I know that we are sitting in here, us young people, I see you and you look good and you look nice and you got your men, you got your suits on and your nice shirts and bow ties and you're looking spiffy and young ladies are looking beautiful and everybody's looking good and everybody seems like we've got our act together. But the truth of the matter is, I believe with all of my heart that there are some young people that are in this house tonight that it doesn't matter how good and how fancy you look. It doesn't matter how much you paid for your shoes or how much you spent down at the suit store for your suit. Truth of the matter is, Brother Taylor, is you could even go and buy $100 cologne and spritz it on and smell like $1 million. But the truth of the matter is, there are some that are under the sound of my voice that amongst all of how we look and how good we sing and how good we smell and of all the things that are put together, there's some pain that's represented in this house. There's some suffering. There are some sins. There are some people who are in some predicaments as to where you're wondering if God is aware and if God is able to bring you to a place where there could be some real deliverance. And I came to tell a young person in this house tonight is that it doesn't matter how bad of the situation, it doesn't matter how bad the sin, it doesn't matter how bad the situation or the circumstance, no matter the state that you find, that you've tried to cover, that you've tried to bury. I serve a Savior who stands right in the middle of your mess. He'll stand right in the middle of your pain. He'll stand right in the middle of the things of your life. Come on, somebody. Stand right in the middle of some places as to where that if everybody else was aware, If everybody else was aware, oh, we can do a good job of trying to hide, trying to keep down the stench of what's going on in our lives. Hear me tonight. When we look at this, John 11 speaks of people that Jesus loves. But the people that he loves are in the middle of a dilemma. They are caught between what could have been and only looking at maybe what could be. What do you mean by that, Brother Jacob? Well, the Bible says, if you read in John 11, the Bible says that Martha, once Jesus comes, the family's upset because according to their watch and their calendar, Jesus has arrived late. And as he has showed up late, we come to find that Martha greets Jesus. And the first thing that she said is she said, if only you would have been here. If only you would have been here sooner. If only you would have come earlier. You see, she was caught in the place of what could have been. She was caught in the place of everything could have been saved if it would have happened at this time. And then we find as Mary comes later and Martha returns again, that Martha states again, she said, I know, after Jesus had reminded her that he would live again, she said, I know that he will live in the resurrection. And so therefore, not only was she saying where things could have been, but I know that what things could be. But how many of you realize that tonight, here we are on this Monday evening, and it's already been said in a lot of youth camps, it is often encouraged that you don't wait until the last night before you get in. There are some of you that would say, Brother Jake, you don't understand, because of my sin, because of my suffering, because of the scenarios and situations that I am in. Whoa, what could have been would have been good. And maybe there's a chance down the road that God can do something then. But I want to tell somebody that we serve a God who wants to deal with right now. We serve a God where his word declares that today is the day of salvation. That now is the time. That while you are in your youth is the time to remember your Creator. Can I say that in Mary and Martha and all of their doubts and all of their fears and thinking that there was nothing left, thinking that it was final, we come to find a Savior who had said, you're looking, if I can paraphrase, you're looking for the resurrection, but I came to tell you that I am the resurrection. Everything that you need is in me. Everything of what you desire, I have right now to give to you. Right now. Oh, but you see, a part of the situation, a part of the dilemma that they find themselves is that for the present moment, 4 days late, this seems final. Life is lost. Expectancy is extinguished. Faith is forgotten. Purpose is now putrefied behind a stone. Come on, somebody. Have you been there as to where you are decomposing in disappointment behind a place where it doesn't seem that you will find any rescue? 4 days spoke of finality to the Jews. Ceremony and tradition said that they couldn't even come close to the tomb. But Jesus makes his approach. And just like Jesus does, oh, you got to understand, he always provided an exception to the rule. Amen. Where they were governed by their natural law, where they were governed by their present circumstance, while they were looking at that situation, that day death was encountering a Savior. That day death was encountering the resurrection. That day purpose was going to find a new life. That day the sin, which was symbolized by death, even though it seemed that the transition was final, when it seemed there was no way out. Have you ever been there? Have you been at a place? Is there somebody tonight suffering in the stench of sin, in a place where you've tried your best, you've tried to overcome? Oh, you're not helping me right now. You're not shouting, but I'm preaching. Understand, I know we want to act dignified. We want to act like ain't none of us got any problems, ain't any of us got any issues, but I'm telling you that there are some that are suffering behind a stone, and the devil stood laughing, making you think that it's final and that it's over. But I'm glad to report to you that there ain't nothing over until God says it's over. There ain't nothing final until God says it's final. I will tell you tonight, we still serve a Savior who can call dead men to life. He'll call purpose back again. He'll call your call. He'll remind you of your call and your talent. He'll remind you of his word that has spoken into your life. Oh, some that are convinced that maybe this is where it ends for me, that this is where it is all done for me. There are some that maybe a year ago in camp, there was some renewing of purpose and call and conviction and desire, but somewhere along the line, you have found yourself. They have carried you and laid you inside of the graveyard. You have been there and you have found yourself suffering in silence. You've wondered if Jesus cares. You've wondered if he would show up. You have wondered if he could be there to rescue you. You rescue you where you are. And I want to remind you tonight is that God is not intimidated, amen, by the stench, that Jesus can handle the stink. Can I tell someone tonight, there's still a fountain that is filled with blood. There is still forgiveness, even in your failures. There is still a Savior who shows up with mercy. Can I tell you that where sin did abound, grace does much more abound? Where there was failure, there's a Savior that says, you can get back up from where you are. Can I tell somebody tonight is that Jesus can handle your stink? Oh, Jesus, he can handle it. Oh, he can stand in that place. It doesn't stop him. It doesn't intimidate him. As we look at this, I want you to understand, as not only are there those who are in graveyards of where there is a stench, as to where it is the decomposing disappointments of dreams, depression, discouragement that has settled over you like a fog. You are entombed and encapsulated in things that you think you will never escape. But also I want to tell somebody tonight that there's someone or someone's who are here that you would say that maybe it's not the sin that stinks, but there are some people who are in situations where there is a stench. Situations where there are a stench. Never before have we seen in such record numbers in our churches as to where there are young people that sit in our youth groups and in our church pews, kids that are seeing things and hearing things at their homes, different things. I had a friend of mine and his little girl attending one of the local public schools, and he said his little girl's in the second grade, and he said she came off the bus one day after school, and he said she came in the house and she said, "Daddy, what does such and such mean?" And he said, "I was shocked and flabbergasted." As he said, she began to talk about things that only adults should know. He said, "My face turned shades of red." And he said, "I was half embarrassed and I was half mad over the fact of where in the world did you hear it?" And she said, "When I was riding home on the bus," she said, "that there was some other older kids that was talking about this and this and this and was telling it to us younger ones about these things that we should do." And he said, "Brother Jake," he said, "my heart was broken." He said, "As to where my baby," he said, "right there on that bus," he said, "that innocence being shattered, that innocence being destroyed." And he said, "I just began to say, oh Lord, here we are in these situations." I say that to say this, from the youngest child that's in here to the oldest one that's sitting in these pews, you've got to understand is that there is a real adversary who is looking to destroy. He is looking. He's got a bloodlust. He salivates and he desires when he looks at your life and the ones that are sitting beside you. He can't wait to kill, steal, and destroy. He loves the fact for those of you to think that you are in situations that are too bad, too gross, too ugly for God, that you're in a place and you'd say, "Brother Jacob, my situation is not ideal." We're finding in the church even as to where homes that are facing dysfunction, they are facing divorce, they are facing various problems, as to where there are places of disconnect. There are some of you that are in this house as to where you would say, "Brother Jacob, if you knew what was going on in my situation, if you knew what was going on in my home, I would be embarrassed for people to find out. I would be embarrassed for people to know what is going on." But I want to tell you tonight is that there is a Savior who will come in the middle of your situation, no matter what the verdict is, no matter how difficult it might seem, no matter how sticky or sticky or how bad that situation might be. He is an author of creating something even out of nothing to provide a place of deliverance for his children, even when there is all of hell that assails and tells you there is no way, no way out of this situation. I'm reminded of a gentleman by the name of Jairus in the Bible. You remember his story. The Bible said that there he had a daughter. He had a daughter who was deemed at the point of death. And the Bible declares that she was just 12 years old. And he comes to Jesus in the middle of this situation begging for the master to come to his house. "Sister Megan, would you help Brother Jacob for a minute? Would you help me? Come on." She's looking at me like, "What are you going to do, Brother Jake?" This is a Smith lady. And us Smiths got to stick together, don't we? "Come on up here if you would. I'm going to give you an easy job. Can you do me a favor? And I just want you to lay down right here on these chairs, okay? Now don't fall asleep on me. Just lay down right there." The Bible said that that little girl, she was in there and she was at a place of death. And Jairus had come to Jesus and he was there, and here he was, a father that was brokenhearted. "Brother Sean, Brother Dustin, Brother Stephen, could you come help me, brother? Where's Brother Poole? Come help me, Brother Poole. I want to give you this scenario here for just a moment. Brother Stephen and Brother Dustin and Brother Sean, if you fellas could just come right here and just stand right in front of Sister Megan here. And you can turn and you can face the audience. And brother, we didn't get your mask, did we? All right. Just use this to cover your... Go ahead and put those gloves on. I want to set the stage here for just a moment. We're finding as Jairus had come to the point, he had come to Jesus and he's in a bad situation. And as I was studying a little bit, there's something that's interesting about the word stink. It's not only does it connotate smell, but it also connotates, one of the definitions is commotion. It is to create a fuss. And as we look at this story, the Bible tells us that there was, we find as Jairus was in this place, and Jairus was looking for some help. Come help me, Jairus. This is Jairus and Jesus. And Jairus had said, Jesus, you got to understand, I need you to come to my house. The situation that I have is bad. And I just don't know as to if my daughter's going to live or not. And is brokenhearted. And the Bible says this, that as Jairus and Jesus are making the way to the house, is that there was a couple of things that happened. That number one, there was a great commotion that was going on in the house. And these fellas that were there, as the Bible says, as they were there looking, and I'm sure there was some ladies too, but I'm just picking on these men tonight, that they was there and all of what was happening, boy, they was lifting their voice and they was crying. Cry for me, fellas. Oh, they're brokenhearted. Come on here. They're a wailing. And so before they even get to Jairus' house, the situation stinks. Listen to all that fuss. Listen to all that commotion. And then the Bible said that there came a certain man. Now the Bible doesn't say what his name is. The Bible doesn't tell us what his position was. But all we know, if I in my mind's eye, tonight there was a man who was running from the house and he had met Jesus and Jairus on the road, and I had him come with his gloves on and his mask on, because why? He's been at the house and the situation stinks. He's been over there and they've been in a fuss. He's been over there and they've been in a commotion. I mean, there's death in the house. It's a bad situation. And the Bible said Mr. Certain stops Jesus and Jairus on the road. And I can picture Mr. Certain. See, some of you don't realize it, but you've met Mr. Certain as well. Mr. Certain has showed up to you in the middle of your situation where everything looks helpless and everything looks lost. And Mr. Certain has showed up and he's got his mask on. And he's saying, my, everything's a mess. Everything stinks. Jairus, don't even you dare trouble the master any further. Listen, he said, your daughter is dead. Don't quit crying on me, fellas. Your daughter is dead. Hear me. There are some of you that are here in this house tonight. You're in a situation as to where certain, you, like I said, you may not realize it, but there are some certain things. Depression has been certain and showed up in your life and said there's no way out of this situation. Discouragement has been certain and said don't you dare trouble the master anymore. Come on, somebody. There are some that are here
that failure showed up and said, I'm certain that you'll never get up from where you are. You're in a bad situation. There's somebody that the devil of certainty has showed up and said, that dysfunction in your family, it'll always be there. Those lost parents will never get saved. The problem of sin in the home will never get turned around. Some of you have dealt with certain. Come on here. A devil of certainty that will tell you and stare you in the eye and say, listen, 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 Jairus. Listen, they having the funeral. Listen, I'm certain you ain't coming out of this situation. I'm certain that your daughter's not going to live. I'm certain that you have wasted your time, your efforts, and your energy. I'm certain that you'll just sit there at youth camp this year and you're just going to let the service go on by and you ain't going to get anything from God. Some of you, the devil said, I'm certain you're going to go home the same way you came. I'm certain you're going to have the same problem, the same stench, the same situation. But that day certain met a Savior who knew life and he knew power, and he looked at Jairus and he said, I know what he says, but I need you to hear what I'm going to say. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. There's somebody in this house tonight. You need to shake the corridors of hell, square your shoulders, and say, I heard you certain, but I know what my Savior said, and I'm going to believe what God has to say in the middle of my situation. Oh, I can see certain run on back to the house. He joins in crying, Jairus. That's a quartet if you've ever seen one, isn't it? Jairus, I know what you've been told, and I know what you hear, but I just need you to believe. Come on, somebody. I know what you've been told, and I know what you see right now. Come on, young person. I know what you've been told, and I know what you've heard. And you hear everybody mourning around you. And you hear the anthem of heaven saying, you'll never recover. And you hear the demons saying, you'll never get past this point. But we have a Savior who'll ask you, will you dare to believe me? Will you dare to believe my word? Will you dare to stand upon my promise? Will you dare to trust the fact that I love you? Will you dare trust? Come on, Jairus. Do you believe me tonight? Do you believe me tonight? And the Bible says, so they got up there, and here comes Jesus. Turn around, you ball bags. Hey, turn around. Jesus looks at Jairus. He said, she's not dead. All she's doing is sleeping. Come on. Come on. Come on. It sounds funny right now, but there's some of you that in the night when you turn the light off in bed, all you hear is the laughter. All you hear is the doubt. All you hear is that it can't be. All you hear is that your situation's not going to change. It stinks. It's dead. It's dormant. It ain't ever going to resurrect.
Oh, but we find that Jesus, the Bible said, I tell you what, while they was laughing, what I'm glad is that the Savior, when he steps into a situation where there's some stink, he says, I can handle this mess. He said, y'all get on out of this house. I don't even want you around. He will chase the stink out of your life. He'll get you back to the place and the point to say it don't matter how it looks. Look at who I am. Look at what I can do. Listen to what my word has to say. Thank you, brother. Sister Megan, thank you. Listen to me. We get in a point and a place as to where those situations, they stink. I'm looking at some of you young men and you young ladies, some of these boys and some of these girls, as to where you are the lifeline for your house. You are the one that God has put his hands on to change the trajectory of what's going on. I'm not telling you that just to pump you and prime you. I'm telling you because I've seen it firsthand. Some of you know my testimony. I was growing up in a house, my parents drugging and drinking all the time. They didn't mind me coming to youth camp because when I was at youth camp for a week, they had the liberty to binge on drugs all week long. Come on here. I easily, Brother Seth, I knew where they kept the dope and the pills in the drawers in the bedroom. Sister T, I could open the refrigerator and there'd be Budweiser beer in the fridge. I could go to the pantry and there was margarita mixes and wild turkey whiskey. Come on here. I saw it. There was times I'd come home from school, and if Dad had the day off, there was times that the aroma of drugs and alcohol lingered in the air. If I wanted to, Brother T, I knew. I could have went in there at any point in time. I knew where they kept it. There was times I was at home all alone. I could have grabbed a beer out of the fridge. There was a time I could have done any of those things. But there came a point in my life as to where I was believing God to change the situation at my house. It stunk. It was terrible. Brother Wilson, it was intimidating. There were times I wondered, is there any hope and is there any help? Is there anything that can change the course of what's going on in my house? And the Lord reminded me time and time again, said, Jacob, if you'll let me work through you, if you'll commit your life to me, if you'll give yourself to me, there are some of you where you'd say, Brother Jacob, that kind of stuff, does it happen in homes of kids that are sitting here in this youth camp? Absolutely. There are some of them that are sitting here tonight, they've seen far worse than that. There are some of you sitting here, you've seen and experienced things, and you'd say, Brother Jacob, it stinks. I've got problems. I've got situations. And I wonder, and you've heard hell laugh, and you've met Mr. Certain say, there ain't no way you're going to recover. You will be another statistic. You'll be like your other family. You'll be like your other siblings. You'll be like everybody else. I just wonder here at Truth Camp 2019, is there some young men and young women who'll dare be able to stand up and say, let the change start with me. I'm going to let Jesus right in the middle of the stink of my situation because it does not intimidate him. Oh, musicians, if you'd come. Some, their sin has them in a place, in a tomb, where there's the stench of decomposing dreams, putrefaction of purpose, faith that seems like it's dead. Others that are in situations where everybody, everyone, some of you, can I just tell you right now, I know there's some of you here against the wishes of some of your family. I know some right now
that there's such disconnect and dysfunction in the home. They're fighting a war. And some would say you shouldn't even be here. But here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Lord, in my suffering. Here I am, Lord. I've had my sin. Here I am, Lord, in my situation. And it hurts. You know what else can stink? Wounds that are left unhealed. Wounds that are left unhealed. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms. Psalms declares this, 38:4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Some of you have suffered hurts that run so deep, broken hearts that can't seem to heal. You've been wounded by words of others. Maybe you've got wounds tonight that are still open because of a painful past. Friendships that have been forsaken. Betrayal that has caused bitterness. And now, tonight, your wounds are open. Your wounds have not healed. If we listen close enough, there's bitterness in your words, bitterness in your attitude, in your actions. Because your wounds have not healed, they're festering. Because you have guarded, my little girl, bless her heart, I'm doing what every dad who's a preacher does, using my own baby for an illustration, but we was at youth retreat here a few months back, and she was running down the sidewalk, and it was a steep hill, and that pavement was all bumpy. Some of you was there, and she fell, and she busted her knee open. Blood was coming, and tears were falling. And the first thing when we got her into the restroom, and we was trying to look at it, Brother Wilson, the first thing that she did when she saw the first aid kit come out, she said, "No! No!" I mean, she was in hysterics. "No, Dad. Don't. What are you going to put on my cut?" You know why? She was afraid of what was going to happen. If there was something that was going to put on there. She was afraid that maybe the pain of the healing would be worse than the current pain of the wound. There are some that are in here tonight, and you have held on to some wounds for a long time. Oh, you've kind of bandaged them here and there. You've covered them up here and there. You've tried to keep them out of sight every now and again, but it's come to the point. It's come to the point that now, when you get around others, there's something different about you. You don't have the joy you used to have. You don't smile the way you used to smile. You don't worship the way you used to worship. I don't see you pray the way you used to pray. We don't see you in service the way you used to be in service. You're not pursuing the call the way you used to pursue the call. There's something. There's something that's different. Could it be that your wounds are giving you away? Could it be that your wounds, it's no longer your joy, it's no longer your worship, it's no longer your praise, your prayer, it's no longer your faithfulness that gets people's attention, but now the psalmist said, my iniquities are over my head. Is there anybody in here ever felt like you was drowning? Anybody in here ever felt like you was trying to tread water, but you keep going under? He said, iniquity is over my head. He said, my wounds, they stink. Who can help me? The truth is that even with some of us teenagers, there's still an 8-year-old boy or girl, and you're scared to death to let Jesus see the wound. There's some of you, you're scared to death because maybe if Jesus saw how you really hurt, if Jesus knew how wounded you were, He'd be done with you. Because some of you have believed Mr. Certain, and he has said, if you have to live like that, if you're wounded like that, if you've got that problem, you can't do anything for the Lord. But I've told you tonight, Jesus will show up at your tomb. He'll show up at the house. And the good news is there's still a balm in Gilead. There's still healing in His wings. There's still a Savior, Sister T, who with one touch He can heal. With one word He can revive. With one whisper He can restore. Do you hear Him calling your name tonight? Do you hear Him say, it doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter the sin, it doesn't matter the wound, I can handle the stink, I can handle the wound, I can handle the problem. Came to tell somebody tonight, Jesus is not intimidated by your sin, your situation, or your wounds. I'm going to ask you to stand all over this house. I'm going to ask you right where you are. I'm going to ask you to lift those hands to heaven. Come on. Come on, young people. It's right now, it's very visible. The Holy Ghost is dealing with many of you. Tears are falling. Some of you, you hear Jesus. You hear Him calling your name tonight. There are some that you're looking at dreams and callings and various ambitions and goals, things that the Lord has spoken to you. There's some of you, a year ago, you left youth camp and said, I'm never going back. I'll never be the same. But yet, tonight,
Months have passed and here we are. And you'd say, Brother Jake, the wound is there, but can he heal me? I want to tell you, yes, he can. Brother Jake, I want to see God do something in my life. I want to see him heal my home. I want to see him touch my family. Can God still use me? Yes, in the middle of your situation, in the middle of the commotion, in the middle of the fuss, he still will show up and speak life. He'll still call stones to be rolled away. I want you right now, come on, let's just tell him, say, Lord, I love you tonight. Lord, I praise you tonight. Come on, young people. Come on, young people. Come on, some of you need to press through right now. Some of you right now, there's wounded, broken, disappointed, hurt, bruised, wounded, pain, suffering, sin, situations. But I believe I'm looking at some young people who's going to say, I'm not going to let it stop me. And for sure, the stink and the stench of my scenario is not going to stop the Savior. I wonder who else on this Monday night service is going to be brave enough, man enough, woman enough to say, I'm going to step out from where I am. I know it stinks. I've got wounds. I've got issues. I've got problems. But I believe there's a Savior here tonight who can heal, who can forgive, who can restore, who can revive. Come on, young people. Let's find a place. Let's find a place in these altars. Come in here as close as you can. Oh, God's not through tonight. God's not through tonight. Come on, sis. Oh, it ain't over yet. Your failures are not final. The stink isn't going to stop.
Satan's lies, God's hand is still on your life. Oh, God's not through with you. Oh, God's not through with you.
Jesus, would you heal me? Jesus, would you speak life?
Satan's lies, God's hand is still on your life. Oh no, God's not through with you. You might be looking failure in the eye. You're sure you wanna give up.
Healing. There's healing for your wounds. There's restoration for the dead places. There's resurrection.
You're through and starting over. You're running out of heart. Oh, my God's not through with you. That God believes in you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus died for you. So give it all and don't. back a thing. Oh, and you might be surprised at the good that God can bring.
There's not a sin he can't forgive. There's not a problem.
I'm here to say that God believes in you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus died for you. So give it all and don't hold back a thing. Surprise at the good that God can bring. Oh, well, God's not through with you.
Oh, come on. Let the healing, let the healing take place. Let forgiveness have its way. Let the resurrection and the life.
Tantalize God's hand is still on your. Oh, God's not through with you. Oh, God's not through with you. He's got a word only you can do.
Come on, ladies.
Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Tom, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Yes.
Break every chain. Break every
Come on.
Chain.
Break Holy every Ghost.
Chain.
Oh.
And there is power.
In the deliverance.
Name of Jesus.
Power. Resurrection.
There is in the name of Jesus. There is power. Jesus, Tom, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Tom, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And there is an army rising up. There is an Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. God said that He would turn it around. Well, God said He would turn it around. Well, while the devil meant for evil, God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Well, God said He would turn it around. Well, God said He would turn it around. Well, I want the devil before evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around.
Oh, come on in this house. Don't you quit pressing in. Don't you let the stink stop you. Because it's not going to stop the Savior. He's right here in the middle of your mess. Right here in the middle of your pain. Right here in the middle of your wounds. Healing. Power.
Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, well, you got to give Him all the praise. God is in control. God said He will turn it around. Well, you got to give Him all the praise. God is in control. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, well, God said He will turn it around. Well, God said He will turn it around. Joy for your pain, praise for your sadness as you remember His name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. He'll give
oh,
you
yes. ashes. The joy stink don't stop pain. Him. Praise somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to worship. Somebody ought to glorify. Somebody ought to rejoice because it ain't over. It ain't done. You're not dead. You're not going to die here. Oh, Rabbanobosi. Oh.
Turn it around. Oh, well, though it might be midnight, joy is soon to come. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, well, I said He will turn it around. Well, I said He will turn it around. Oh, but the devil been for evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. He'll give you beauty for ashes, joy for your pain, praise for your sadness as you remember His name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. He'll give you beauty for ashes, joy for your pain, praise for your sadness as you remember His name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. Well, God said that He would turn it around. Well, God said He would turn it around. Well, about the devil before evil, God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. place. God is in control. God said he would turn it around. Well, you've got to give him all the praise. God is in control. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, yes, and God said he would turn it around. Well, God said he would turn it around. Well, not the devil meant for evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, yes, he'll give you beauty for ashes, joy for your pain, grace for your sadness as you remember his name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. He'll give you beauty for ashes, joy for all your pain, grace for your sadness as you remember his name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. Well, God said that he would turn it around. Well, God said he would turn it around. Well, not the devil meant for evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Joy is soon to come. God said he will turn it around. Oh, and though it might be midnight, joy is soon to come. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, and God said he will turn it around. Oh, God said he will turn it around. Oh, but the devil meant for evil. God will make it good. Joy for your pain, praise for your sadness as you remember his name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Joy for your pain, praise for your sadness as you remember his name. Mourning into dancing, sorrow into joy. Every day will be sweeter than the day before. And God said that he would turn it around. Well, God said he would turn it around. Well, not the devil meant for evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Oh, and God said he would turn it around. Well, God said he would turn it around. Well, not the devil meant for evil. God will make it good. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Well, you must fight, be brave against all the call. Never run or even lag behind. If you would fight for God in the right, just keep on the fiery hand. Oh, well, you must fight, be brave against all the call. Never run or even lag behind. If you would fight for God in the right, just keep on the fiery high. Oh, and if you're in the battle for the Lord and thine, keep on the fiery line. And if you win the victory, brother, you must fight. Keep on the fiery line. Oh, for there are many dangers which we all must face. If we die still fighting, it is no disgrace. Powers in the service.
Come on, young people. You're at the cusp of a miracle. You're at the cusp. Some of you need to work on past the hurt, the wound. Keep on praying past the pain. Keep on praying past the stink. Keep on praying past the naysayers. Keep on praying past what hell has to say. Jesus is in this house, healing hearts, renewing lives. Keep persevering. Keep on praying. Come on.
praise. Yes.
Darkness had to spread good cheer.
Oh.
Be rewarded for
my situation. My sin. My pain. The stench in my life is not going to stop me. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to pray. Oh, although of hell assails me, I've met the Master tonight. I've met the Master. The resurrection and the life is in this house tonight.
And when we get to heaven, we shall be so glad. Keep on the firing line. Oh, and we shall praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. Oh, and life is bound to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish darkness and to spread good cheer. We shall be rewarded for service here. Just before the firing line. Oh, yes, and you must fight. Be brave, I can't stop me call. Never run or even lag behind. If you would fight for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, yes, and you must fight. Be brave, I can't stop me call. Never run or even lag behind. If you would fight for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, yes, and you must fight. Be brave, I can't stop. So can't nobody do me like the Lord. Well, I know can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh.